I certainly thank the Lord for being here this morning. Just want to read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 12. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Verse 32. Reading first verse 39 for 29 for connection. And the angel came unto her and says, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Matthew 3:17. Just reading verse 13 for connection. "Then cometh Jesus to Galilee, to Jordan, unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbid him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it behoved us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heaven were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighted upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I found all my delight. Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, and reading verse 37. "And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and give up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out, and give up the ghost, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God." John's Gospel, chapter 20, and verse 30. "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Chapter 21 now, and verse 24. "This is the disciple which testify of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that shall be written." Just want to spend these few moments in light of the hymns that we have just sang in the Sunday school and what we shared this morning in the breaking of bread. When you read the book of Malachi, and God says, "Lest he come and curse the earth," 400 silent years, nothing came from heaven, no revelation, no dream, no prophet. And to hear the words of God, to hear the silence being broken, "Fear not, fear not." The commissioner of police in St. Kitts said to me, "Fear is really facts, faults that may appear real. Facts, what he says, is really faults that may appear real. There are many things to be afraid about. And we look at the situation in which we are at this moment. But to hear God opening up, the first word spoken from heaven, fear not, fear not. But I just want to, why I read those scriptures. I read those scriptures because sometimes we believe that if someone speak, you understand what they are saying. They are very articulate. They can, you know, open up things to us. God moves in such a wonderful way. Because when you read in the book of Hebrews, God has spoken in many ways and diverse places unto the fathers by the prophets. God is not doing that anymore. God has removed all those who come between him and the people and humanity. And God says, listen, I am coming myself. I don't want anyone between you and I. And as he comes, he says, how is he going to speak to us? God says, I am going to speak, and I'm going to speak to you in Son. I am sending my Son, and he's going to come into this world. And these four places that I've read has left an impression without words being spoken. The first place, we know, we have sung about it, Bethlehem's manger, where Jesus, that holy thing that shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God, the Son of God. That babe in the Bethlehem's manger, he couldn't speak, he couldn't talk. It was a baby, became a man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. But as a baby, he couldn't speak. But God was speaking in him. And God was showing to us, what was he saying? That babe in that manger was speaking so loud, although not audibly, but speaking and saying something to us, that even the angels came and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace upon earth, God good pleasure in man. They saw that. They look and see this baby is not saying anything but the language Isaiah said. And we sang it. What Isaiah said. Isaiah says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. When he went to Ahaz and asked a sign. And Ahaz says, I'm not asking, because he was an ungodly man. I'm not asking. God says, well, you don't ask. I'm going to give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. And you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So this baby is saying right in Bethlehem's manger, nothing. All, you know what he said? God with us. Why those fears? Behold, it's Jesus. He holds the helm. He guides the ship. So now here it is. God is on the planet. And God is speaking so loud. And he's saying, listen, many things that will cause the heart to be afraid. Many things will cause indeed one to tremble. But he's saying, I am with you. I am here. Yes, I am in Bethlehem's manger. I uphold the world. Although I'm not speaking, we read it this morning. He's the creator. He takes the number one place when he came into this world. So that babe in Bethlehem's manger was not saying a thing, but it was speaking. God was speaking in him. And to think, God has visited planet Earth. Since men are paying millions now to go out for 10 minutes. 10 minutes to go out into space and look back at the planet. One guy just went up from $20 million. I think he spent about 3 days or something like that. But to think what is happening. And God says, listen, I came in. I came down. And I have spoken by my presence. I am for you. I am with you. and I've come near. In the book of Matthew, it's different. In the book of Matthew, these were those who responded to John's ministry. John the Baptist. He prepared the way. He cleared the way. And he got out of the way. Because he says, I must decrease. And he must increase. He says, I rejoice to hear the bridegroom's voice. He is preferred before me. Because he was before me. John the Baptist recognized who Jesus was. Because John the Baptist was born 6 months before the Lord Jesus. But he realized, listen, I cannot even stoop down to unloose his sandals because he's so great. But what John is saying, when John was at the banks of the Jordan, and men and women coming and confessing their sins, and saying indeed what they have done, getting baptized, yes, and confessing the sins, the Lord Jesus identify himself with that company. And John says, no, I'm not baptizing you. I'm not baptized. He says, John, suffer it to be so now. Suffer it to be so. Because righteousness becometh us. Okay? Divine persons. John baptized the Lord Jesus. And coming out of the water immediately, had no confession to make. Because he was sinless, he knew no sin. He did no sin. There was no sin in him. Indeed, and he came out of the water. And out of the water, as he came up, saw the Spirit of God descending upon him. And hearing the Father speaking, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You could imagine those who were wrong getting baptized, confessing their sins. And to see the Son of God identifying themselves with him, with them. What a language. What a language. Actions speak louder than words. So now they saw the Son of God identifying with this repentant company. And this is a message that God is speaking. No words. He didn't come out and says, hey, listen, I am going down and baptize and show myself that I'm for you. And I appreciate what you're doing. And what you did is no. He just went in. And I could imagine, brethren, how a sinner feels when he realizes a savior for me. Language which people cannot understand. Years ago, I was coming from Germany to New York. And I heard a conversation of a father and a son. I don't know if I share it, but I'll share it again. It was wonderful. The father and the son, they were in the seat in front of me. And the father was talking to the son about business and the son. And they were having a dialogue. When the plane landed, I said to the father, he says, I appreciated how you all dialogued and the conversation. I said, I'm sorry for eavesdropping, but I did. And he said to me, he says, I am not always right. But this time, I was right. But you know what it is, brethren? That God, having a wonderful dialogue with us, to be identified with us, I say, listen, you're not alone. I am in it with you. I am identifying myself with you here at the banks of the Jordan. Send a message that language will fail and be inarticulate to express. But in demonstration, he demonstrated it. On the cross, Mark's gospel, the centurion observed the sufferings of Christ. He observed that all that he went through, he heard his cry. He was there when the drunkards, you save others yourself, come down from the cross and we believe you. Yeah. You say you're the Christ. He heard it all. When God shut Jesus in thick darkness and dealt with him, he heard through that thick darkness the cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When the Lord Jesus, with that loud cry, really, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. You know what he said? Truly, this was the Son of God. Listen, saints, we can see him, Son of God, in Bethlehem's manger. I am with you. Fear not. We can see him at Jordan identifying himself with this remnant company, the sinners who come to confess their sins. They want to serve the king. But when we see him on the cross, dying, giving his life for guilty sinners, and recognizing we deserve that, we should have been there. We should have been crowned with thorns. We should have been scourged, rejected. But he took the guilty sinner's place. That touches heart. If Calvary don't touch a man's heart, something is wrong. The same sun that melts butter hardens clay. The same love that embraces us, some men reject. But this man, he was saved. I believe he got saved. Truly, this was the Son of God. Brethren, we sang about him, and we have to come to that conclusion too. Truly, he is the Son of God. God speaking through the death of Christ. But then John, in John's gospel, it's only, I think, two books in the Bible where the author, New Testament, where the author is not mentioned. It's John's epistles and the book of Hebrews. And John says, if we should write a book about Jesus, how much songs have been written about him? Some scriptural, some unscriptural. But you know what Paul said? Some preach Christ for envy. Some preach Christ for gain. But I rejoice that Christ is preached. I rejoice that his name is being lifted up. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. John says, these things are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that we may have life in his name. You know what John says? He says that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may embrace the Son. These things are written that you may know you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The Son of God has come into this world. Man with SpaceX. He says he's going to make a colony on Mars so people could live. And we will go there and get away from this planet. Mr. Hopkins, who died, who says man have to get off this planet because this planet is dying. They have not read the scriptures. They have not read about the world to come. They have not read about Christ, the man Christ Jesus, who is coming to set this world right and put it together that he may present it to God in a day to come. Saints, I am not worried because I know who is in charge. So men could say, oh, all these things happening. Yes, they are. We don't have to leave. We will be taken out of here. And then we'll rule and reign over the earth with Christ. But the testimony is Jesus. God is speaking in Bethlehem. But the amen listening is so loud. God with us. He identifies ourselves. He identifies himself with us at the Jordan, sinners, at the cross. He died for us. And then he wrote a wonderful love letter. If the world should contain the things that Jesus did, I tell you, in that room for the books. I've been to Trinity College in Northern Ireland. I tell you, when you look and you look down a corridor, books. You look so, books, 5 stories of books. You walk, 2 people could read all of this. I tell you this, every one of them could have contained what is said of Christ. And still, there wouldn't be room. He is altogether lovely. May God continue to help us to appreciate what he has revealed to us in this man, Christ Jesus. Every action, every word, every movement, I tell you, spoke. They couldn't write about these things. But men write what they hear. God says, I'm going to demonstrate it in my man. The man Christ Jesus. May we feast upon him. Amen. Amen. Amen.